Welcome to another March to Match Day here at 92.9 The Game. My name's Jason Longshore, the color analyst for the Atlanta United Radio Network here on the station. It's as big of a match day as we have had in 2018. Atlanta United hosting New York City FC in the second leg of the Eastern Conference semifinals on Sunday. Our coverage here on 92.9 The Game will start at around 5:20. We'll be coming in out of the Atlanta Falcons post-game show, straight into an abbreviated Five Stripes countdown ahead of kickoff just after 5:30 Sunday afternoon. We'll have an extended full-time report as we'll take you all the way up to the start of the Atlanta Hawks and Los Angeles Lakers and LeBron James from Staples Center in Los Angeles. So all kinds of coverage on a very, very big Sunday in Atlanta sports and here on 92.9 The Game. Let's get into New York City FC and what Sunday will bring. If you had a chance to watch Seattle and Portland from last night, you had a great taste of what the playoffs can be like. Lots of twists and turns, lots of peaks and valleys. You have to minimize those valleys and you have to maximize your opportunities in these games because everything gets magnified. Atlanta United comes in with a 1-0 lead after the first leg. Eric Rometty with a first half goal that has stood up so far. New York City FC, no shots on goal at Yankee Stadium. That is as good as it gets defensively. Atlanta United, in the last match, played three center backs. One of them was Jeff Lorenowitz. Today, at media availability at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta training ground, Tata Martino said that Lorenowitz was battling a muscle issue and he is not a lock to play on Sunday or to start. So, it'll be a game-time decision. If he is unavailable, I would assume that Franco Escobar slides into the middle, and I would assume that Julian Gressel plays the right wing back role that we've seen him in a lot this season. That would mean you have a decision to make. I'll be very surprised if Miguel Almiron does not start. He has trained all week long. Don't know if he's 90 minutes fit, but I think you have to start him here. Do you start him in the number 10 role, or do you start him as the second forward, as we saw last week in New York? Second forward, you're going to have a little bit less defensive work to do. If Gressel is playing at the right wing back, you're going to have to figure out what you do at the 10 spot. Is it Ezekiel Barco? Is it Kevin Kratz or Darlington Nagbe and moving those pieces around? A couple different options. Could it be Tito Villalba? It could. We haven't seen him in that role before, but Tito and Miguel, if they're both in the second forward role or the number 10 role, kind of interchangeable. There is concern about Tito Villalba's fitness. He did not look good in the second half as a substitute at Yankee Stadium. Ezekiel Barco eventually came on and replaced him. We'll see. Lineup choices will be plentiful for both sides. New York City comes in, I think, with a big decision to make about what they do on the left side. They've been starting Ben Sweat at left back and Ronald Matarrita as a left winger. I don't know if you can afford to do that here. I think you have to open it up a little bit more, and you need Jesus Medina in the starting lineup from the jump if you're Domé Torrent, NYC manager. I think that means Matarrita goes back to left back and Sweat is available off the bench. I think New York City has to come out and open things up more than maybe they're comfortable doing. This is a team that does like to control possession. They do like to get numbers forward, but they're generally a little patient about how they do that. They have 90 minutes. I don't think they're going to come out wide open from the opening whistle, but I think they will try to grow into the game as it goes here. And can they do it? We'll have to see. New York City FC, what they like to do in the attacking half, when they're able to build up possession play and get their players further and further forward, because, you know, I think people associate possession play with, you know, tiki-taka or something defensive or just your basic shape. NYC uses possession to get their outside backs higher up the field. Because if you do it through possession, you're able to build to that, and you're able to do it in a comfortable way that minimizes risk. The problem is, when you get Anton Tennerholm and Ronald Matarrita or Ben Sweat, further forward. Then you are exposed on the wings. At Yankee Stadium, there's not a lot of wing to be exposed in because it's a very narrow field. Mercedes-Benz Stadium, a little bit different situation. And if NYC commits those outside backs forward and turns the ball over, Atlanta United will have opportunities to attack down the wings. Whether that's Greg Garza, Julian Gressel, your wing backs being able to break out, whether it's Miguel Almiron, Tito Villalba, Ezequiel Barco, Kevin Kratz, Darlington Nagbe making runs into that space, Atlanta will have the opportunity to get Alexander Callens, Maxime Cheneau stretched out and out defending wide. They'll have the opportunity to pull Yanhel Herrera and Alexander Ring out of the holding midfield and get them stretched out 1v1 or 2v1 and exposed. That will give Atlanta a ton of chances here. I think a player who becomes really important as NYC pushes forward higher and higher and tries to build up this play is Alexander Callens. Callens is one of the best passing center backs in the league. He's the key. He's the Leandro Gonzalez Pires of this back line for NYC. He will dribble forward. He will take space. He will jump into the attack. Alexander Ring can drop and cover for him. Callens is that wild card as NYC likes to push forward. He also really focuses on the left side. Callens and Cheneau split the field. Cheneau is more likely to play long. Callens is more likely to actually dribble and carry the ball into the attacking half. Atlanta will have to be careful with that. And they'll also, when they get the opportunities to take it off of Callens and then jumpstart a counter, lightning speed, that's going to be the key for Atlanta. When they can flip from defense to offense quickly and get Miguel Almiron out in space, get Joseph Martinez out in space. We've seen it many, many, many times at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That will be a key on Sunday for Atlanta because they get a goal. That makes NYC more desperate. The more desperate New York City gets, the more space Atlanta United will have to work with, in my opinion, behind the New York City players. And I don't think there's a better team in Major League Soccer than Atlanta United in exploiting space behind defenders and behind outside backs. Atlanta United can thrive if New York City has to commit more players forward in more reckless ways. There's been some interesting commentary in the media this week, and Major League Soccer and their digital side, MLSsoccer.com, posted an article yesterday that the headline was Dome Torrent is not going to put up with Atlanta United's diving. When you actually read the article, the quote is very, very different from Dome Torrent. I hated the headline, to be completely blunt about it. I hated the headline here because I don't think it told the whole story. What Dome Torrent said was, I say to my players, I want to say to Tata Martino, we will not throw the ball out because we have a referee. When it's a foul and one player is diving, the player from Atlanta, New York City decides not to throw the ball outside. If not, you can waste 15 minutes and it's a final. This is a final for New York City FC. There's nothing wrong with what Dome said in that statement. Basically, if there's a play, Atlanta United player is down, New York City's not going to play the ball out. They're going to play. And the referee can stop play when he decides it's time to stop play. Nothing wrong with that. No problem with that. And that is not the same as the headline said. So I think you are hearing comments out of New York City like that one, which is fine. Alexander Callens talks about how they need to score the first goal. It'll change everything for the team. They'll be calmer. There'll be pressure on Atlanta. Anton Tennerholm said that if the score is going to be tied at the end of the game, if it's 1-1 and it's going to extra time, quote, they're going to be scared, talking about Atlanta. I think New York City is trying to, in some ways, talk themselves into this, that if they're able to put pressure on Atlanta, Atlanta will struggle with that pressure. Anything's possible. This is a team in Atlanta United that is new to this. We saw them struggle with the pressure in Toronto. We also saw them at Yankee Stadium bounce back from some adversity with the Miguel Almiron goal being called back. it took a while to get that goal called back too. So it's not just that the goal was called back. I think it's the fact that you had the large emotional release of Miguel Almirón getting the goal, the big celebration, and then it getting pulled back. I was a little worried about Atlanta United's mentality after that. I was wrong. I had no reason to be worried. It took probably 2 minutes for that to be wiped away, and Atlanta United got the goal back in fairly short order. I think this is a much stronger team mentally than people think. And the Toronto experience in the long run was a valuable lesson for Atlanta United. I think for the fan base, this is a very important part of this. With the comments out of New York City, I think they are maybe pointing a finger as well at the crowd. And they think that if they can put pressure on Atlanta, if they can get an early goal, if they can make life difficult for Atlanta, maybe things get a little bit quieter at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Maybe they're able to deal with it a little bit more. Maybe they can take the crowd out of the game. I don't think that's the case either. I think this is a fan base that, sure, has concern. We all know Atlanta sports history, but that has nothing to do with Atlanta United. This is a fan base that I also think understands its responsibilities, maybe not the right word, but its opportunity on Sunday to have a voice in this match, literally, have an impact in this match. How many times do we see it when Atlanta United gets rolling and the crowd, it feels like a sustained roar inside the bins that just almost feels like a tidal wave? How many times do we see opposition players start to look around and start to look a little overwhelmed? Players have talked about it. DC United talked about it when they came here this season. That's an opportunity for the 17s to impact this match, and I think it is something that will be part of this match. So it's a factor. New York City thinks that they can get an early goal and take the crowd out of it and put pressure on Atlanta United. One, I think Atlanta United can defend that and not allow that early goal. And two, if they give it up, there's still plenty of time to go get a goal yourself and get out of here with a win. Scenarios to keep in mind. 1-0 Atlanta coming in, they have the away goal. If this match finishes as an Atlanta United win or a draw of any score, Atlanta United moves on to the Eastern Conference Finals. If this match finishes 1-0 to New York City, we're playing 30 minutes of extra time. It's not sudden death. It's not golden goal. You play the full 30 minutes out. Away goals do not factor in as a tiebreaker at the end of extra time. We saw that last night with Portland and Seattle. Even a couple Portland players might have misunderstood that. They bounced back to win the penalty shootout. If it is tied at the end of extra time, you're going to penalties, and we have seen that play out before. Any other win for New York City, anything other than a 1-0 win and New York City moves on, this is a razor's edge. Atlanta has a very slim lead. That means they can get by with a draw. This is also not a team that's necessarily comfortable playing for a draw. It's going to be a fascinating Sunday, late afternoon, early evening at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. One aspect to keep in mind about New York City, and something to look for, something they like to do a lot, they like to carry the ball inside the 18 and cut it back to the top of the six, cut it back to the top of the arc, cut it back to the penalty spot. Something we've seen Atlanta do as well. Julian Gressel might be the master of this pass in the league. New York City is doing it from a more central position. They like to carry the ball inside the 18 and get into that area at the corner of the six, or even within between 6 yards to the end line outside of the 6 yard box and cut it back. It's a tough spot to defend. You start worrying about penalties. You start worrying about handballs inadvertently. You start worrying about stuff, and New York City is able to cut that back and hit David Villa or Maxi Morales with the trailing run. Atlanta did a great job of limiting chances from Villa and Morales on Sunday in New York. They're going to have to do the same here. If Atlanta is able to force New York City to play Maxi Morales out wide, that means they are controlling the play. That's what NYC had to do in the second half, move Morales out to a wing position because Eric Rometty honestly shut him down. There will be lots of fouls. There will be lots of physical play. There will be lots of controversy. Our friend Mark Geiger is in the middle here. Mark Geiger does not shy away from controversy. We know that. He's also a referee who was in charge of three matches at the most recent World Cup. He had the England-Colombia game that was a powder keg, and he got out of there with no red cards in it. You ask fans of both teams, they're probably going to complain about different things in that game. They would have complained about any referee being in the middle there. The fact that he got out of there without a red card, I was impressed. I think Jair Marufo set the gold standard for refereeing in a playoff match last night in Seattle. I thought he did an amazing job. I hope Mark Geiger is able to match that or better it on Sunday. I hope we're not talking about Mark Geiger on Sunday. You don't want to talk about referees, but with his history, he's always involved in big situations. He's not afraid of them. You don't want to give him one of those. It's going to be a wild one on Sunday. Buckle up, folks. Get ready. Get into the building early. Be ready to make lots of noise and be ready to support this team because Atlanta United has an opportunity here to move on to the Eastern Conference Finals. Again, coverage will start at about 5:20. Mike Conti and I will be coming in after the Falcons post-game show on 92.9 The Game. We'll have an abbreviated Five Stripes countdown. Kickoff will be after 5:30. We'll have a full-time report that could be extended depending on extra time penalties, what goes on, and we'll take you all the way up to the Hawks game in LA against the Lakers and LeBron James. It's going to be fun. If you have any questions ahead of time, tweet at us, Longshoot, Mike Conti 929, Jimmy Vance, our executive producer, ATL Soccer 929. We will be taking your tweets at halftime and in the full-time report. We love the engagement you guys have had with us all season long. Thank you very much for listening to our coverage on 92.9 The Game, and we're looking forward to it. Talk to you guys on Sunday.